Could the Jets be looking for another quarterback? Oh, we'll talk about that and then some right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Let's go.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir. Welcome to Locked On NFL Draft. It's Eric Crocker. I'm Tracy John Harris coming at you. Former NFL AFL defensive back. That's Eric Crocker with the SF representing the Bay Area right there. You see Eric Crocker right there. Ryan Tracy, Rogue Analytics. You can follow him at Ryan Tracy NFL on Twitter and NFL33.com. I'm John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter for the Houston Texans. Not your Houston Texans like I typically say because that's just habit, but I'm also owner-operator of footballtakeover.com. Gentlemen, Robert Saleh. Well, he said something today at his press conference, and we'll tell you what that is. But I first have to tell you, this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Today's episode of Locked NFL Draft is presented by Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's PrizePicks.com, promo code Locked On. Now, Robert Saleh, head coach of the New York Jets, after the Jets registered this many yards in the second half against the Patriots, if you can see that, it's about 2 yards, maybe. It's close. But that's what the Jets generated. Zach Wilson stepped up to the podium. He was asked, did you let the defense down? He said no, and I swallowed my gum. Gentlemen, it's rough in New York. Ryan Tracy. Zach Wilson did not handle the press conference well. What are your thoughts about what the Jets might do with Zach Wilson?
It's not the press conference itself. It's what it represents, because I'm guessing whatever he said at the press conference, he carried it in the locker room. And when you show your teammates that you're just not going to be that concerned about your own performance, whether you let down a defense or it's your offensive line that's trying to help you out or whatever, when you're not the guy that needs to be the guy, because every quarterback that's a franchise quarterback has to be the guy. That's the evidence right there that this is not going the direction it has to go for this franchise. One whose defense is turning it around and is giving them complimentary play. This is a changing of the tide of what they're going to do on the offensive side of the ball.
How do you move the ball 6 feet and a half and not say it's an issue? Like, how do you stand up there? And I couldn't tell if he was trying to be sarcastic because maybe he felt like it was a stupid question, but it seemed like he was being genuinely honest in thinking that it was not the offense's fault and they did not leave the defense out there to dry. So, I mean, how do you, with a straight face, say that to the media?
I got nothing.
Okay. I was frustrated by this because I've seen a lot of, I mean, we've all seen quarterbacks have press conferences and we've all seen a lot of different things. And I mean, my guy Davis Mills here in Houston, after the Chicago game, he had thrown a couple of interceptions. Now, one of them was blatantly his fault. He tried to squeeze a ball on a slant route to Brandon Cooks in between 3 Bears defenders, and it somehow got near Brandon. Well, then DB broke it up, got picked off. Now it got tipped, and then it got picked off. Then he threw one later, and the defensive lineman tipped it, and it got intercepted. At the press conference after the game, Davis stood up there and was like, you know, what are you going to do? I threw 2 interceptions, but they were both tipped balls, so, you know, what can I do? And that just struck me the wrong way. It really struck me the wrong way, because most great quarterbacks we've seen and heard go up there, they might throw for 450 yards, but if they throw an interception or they've made a bad throw at the end of a game, what do they say? That's on me. That's me. That's more a locker room thing. The defense walks in, and they're going to look across and go, bro, we held them to 3 points, and you got 2 yards, but yet that's not letting us down? I just think there's a lot more there than – I mean, I know it's the press conference. I get that. Maybe you went to the locker room and said, look, guys, that's all on me. I don't know. But the press conference, to be so adamant that it was no, I just think there's a major issue with that and his responsibility to his teammates. And, Croc, we played defense your whole life. Ryan, you played defense. If your quarterback came in and said, yeah, man, that's not on me, I'd be pissed. I mean, I'd be livid. They'd have to keep me from him in the locker room for sure.
Again, I would hope that he was being sarcastic. That's the only thing I can think of. But, you know, you talked about some of the, you know, just the quarterback and the guys that throw for 400 yards and they do well. But they had that one play and they want that play back and they talk about how they can improve. And, you know, I see it firsthand with Trey Lance. Trey Lance has started, what, 3-4 games in the NFL? And he played in a storm. I don't even want to call it a storm. It's worse than a storm. Whatever's worse than a storm, a tsunami. It was terrible, right, out there in Chicago. And when he stood up there on the podium, everything came back to him and the plays that he left out there on the field, the things that he did not do. And he threw relatively well until he just got really out of hand. But through three quarters, he was grading out as a top 10 quarterback for the day. And then the weather just got – it was a torrential downpour. And at that point, the ball started flying all over the place. But the accountability that he held for himself. And you look back – on players who end up being bust. And I'm not saying that Zach Wilson's a bust or anything. We're not putting that on them yet, or at all. But a lot of times, and I tell people this all the time, man, in the NFL locker room, the guys that don't pan out a lot of times, it's the first-round picks, top 10 picks, it's not a lack of talent. Like, the guys that are really supposed to be top 10 picks, it's not because of a lack of talent. It's because of something else, the mindset, the work ethic, or maybe not being able to hold yourself accountable. Those are the reasons why a lot of times it just does not work out. And then everybody, oh, you missed on this player. You might not have missed on the player. You missed on the person. And that's a lot of time is the bigger issue. And that's what we're seeing right now with Zach Wilson. I think the way he answered that question is a direct correlation of what's going on the field as well.
Well, that's when the evaluation process, it's not just about can you pipe the ball through pouring down rain? It is about your attitude. How do you carry mentally and how do you project mentally to the other 52 guys in that locker room that have to play with you every week? That's where franchise quarterbacks are separated from good quarterbacks that can throw the ball. And I think in this particular class, you can come back to it. This is definitely something that we're going to have to like deep dive about who's making the right decisions. What front offices in this league are evaluating the mental side, the leadership side, the attitude side of potential franchise quarterbacks the best, because that's going to make the difference.
What will it take for Joe Douglas to pull the trigger in the 2023 NFL draft? We'll talk about that next, but I want to talk about ride sharing and not you hopping in a ride and going off that way. I'm talking about you hopping in the driver's seat and going off and driving with a vehicle that is in the Turo marketplace. It's the world's largest car sharing marketplace, Turo, T-U-R-O. It's like Toro, my buddy Toro here in Houston, but with a U. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the U.S., U.K., Canada, and coming soon to Australia. With Turo, you can book any car that you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. You're the guest. You're the host. Some cases, you might want to be a host. You might have a vehicle that you could bring a guest in and let them in Houston. I could leave my car. Hey, come on, let's do it. Do it at Turo. Get a classic or luxury car. Get a spacious SUV for your family. Find an affordable economy car. If you're looking to save a buck to get you from point A to point B, test drive that new electric vehicle that a host has. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com, the world's largest car sharing marketplace. Like, thank you for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen today. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your pod. Cast. Now, I mentioned that it is a Prize Picks sponsored show. Well, let's talk a little bit about daily fantasy and Prize Picks. It's pretty easy, man. You got so many sports going on right now. I mean, I can't even keep track of them at all. I know NFL is going on. I know college football is going on. Men's, women's, college basketball started. The World Cup is going on. There's always Premier League. And there's eSports 24/7, 365. So Prize Picks is so easy. You just find your favorite players, 2 to 5 players in any of those sports. And if they go score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up 10 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections. Entries can be made 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Safe and fast withdrawals. Currently operational over 30 states in Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. Deposit 100, Prize Picks give you 100. Deposit 50, Prize Picks will give you 50. Don't forget to enter your promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for instant deposit match up to $100. All right, Tracy, I've made you Joe Douglas GM. A, are you ready to pull the trigger? And you know what I mean by pulling the trigger. B, if not, what is holding you back? And C, what will it take for you to pull the trigger that Zach Wilson is not the Jets' face of the franchise going forward?
I'm right on the borderline. I'm not ready to pull it tonight. I got to see reaction from this. I expect there's going to be a benching. How does that play out? Do you give me anything to go on that says that you can come back from this? That's what I got to see in the next 3 days. Then I'll make a decision outright. But for me, I'm leaning towards pulling the trigger right now. As it stands right now, it looks like they have number 18 in this draft. And we all talked about it the other day. There's only two top-tier quarterbacks. So the question becomes, is there value at 18 that I feel can actually improve the situation? I'm not sold to that yet. I got to give him a chance to try to come back and salvage this with his teammates.
Eric, what do you think you have to see from Zach Wilson Sunday against the Patriots? Now, granted, Patriots have one of the best defenses. They're always difficult to face. He's 9 of 22 for 77 yards. He sacked four times. He had a rating of 50.8. Now, he didn't throw an interception. Yay, I guess. But what do you need to see from Zach Wilson?
If you watch the game, though, I mean, yeah. I can't tell you how many of those passes hit defenders in the chest. I mean, it happened at least three, maybe four times throughout that game. It was really bad.
So what do you need to see, Eric, from Zach Wilson? Are you convinced he's the guy for your former team, the Jets? Or do you think it's done? He's Josh Rosen. I got to move on.
I think he's closer to Josh Rosen than being the guy. Now, I don't want to put that on him, all right? This is a guy who has an immense amount of talent. But you asked what I need to see from him. And the biggest thing for me is accountability. That is the biggest thing, because we all know that when you watch these quarterbacks, when they're young, they're going to have their ups. They're going to have their downs. A lot of it is how they respond. And until you truly hold yourself accountable, look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, am I doing everything I possibly can? And if not, what things do I need to do to improve? Instead of just giving some BS answer to the media, you are never going to become the full potential of yourself. And that ultimately is the issue right there. So until I see him hold himself accountable for his play, listen, this team, they got a good record right now. They got a solid record. This is a potential playoff team. In spite of the quarterback position, you look at these games, the quarterbacks a lot of times are not playing well. But the defense, like you said, is carrying them. They had Breece Hall. He was carrying them for a while. You have young receivers, Garrett Wilson. He's doing terrific. But the quarterback position, that has been the weak spot, and that can't be the case. So if it is the case, how do you overcome that? And it starts with accountability. But if he's not holding himself accountable, I don't know how this situation improves.
Do you think it's going to be Joe Flacco this weekend, Ryan?
I do. I think the way that it feels right now, it may be a little raw in that locker room right now. It may be hard to follow him, even if he is trying. I think they got to give it a rest. Let Joe try to come in and at least get a look at what the other side looks like. Maybe that helps turn the teammates to opening up, holding him accountable, and letting him recover.
If it were me, I would probably start Zach Wilson, but he'd be on a short leash. And I think he understands that by the comments by Robert Saleh, basically being very noncommittal to Zach Wilson moving forward. So now the red flag's out there. The bat sign is out there. They're trying to figure out, how do we get some help in this situation right now? But, dude, you when they invest that much into you, the number two overall pick, they're going to give you every opportunity. So this is his last chance. I don't want to say his last chance, but this is a big opportunity for him to go out there carry himself the right way throughout this week, prepare the right way throughout this week, and go into the game and look like a competent quarterback and not a quarterback that is picking up, you know, 2 yards of total offense in the second half. If you have any resemblance of last week, that type of performance, you will see Joe Flacco in that game before the game is over.
I know not a lot of people follow the Texans, and I get that, at least not in 2020 and beyond. Before that, maybe. But in 2021, when Davis Mills was forced to take over because of an injury to veteran Tyrod Taylor, Davis came in, had some moments, but, man, it was really going over the cliff in a hurry, and it was not great. And so they went back to Tyrod, and they let Tyrod play for another 3 games or so, and then Davis came in and finished the year. And Davis came back. When he came back in, it was like the game was faster, or I should say the game was slower for him. He was playing it faster. He was making quicker decisions. Things were happening the way you wanted to see with Davis. Now, that's not translated in 2022, but I've thought about that situation and how it might help Zach, potentially. And Davis took it the right way. He took it as a learning opportunity to step back, watch the game being operated by a different quarterback, and see how he would do it. When he got back on, he was a different guy. Now, again, like I said, it hasn't translated to 2022, but maybe that's what the Jets need to do, and maybe that's what Robert Saleh is thinking, is that, look, take a step back, Zach. Step out of the fray for a little bit. Watch Joe operate. Watch how Joe does things. And if Joe wins a game or not, great. We're going to go back to Zach at some point. Like Eric, you said, number 2 overall pick. You've got a lot invested in that guy just for that alone. But you've got to take a look at a different way. You got to look at the team a different way. You got to see how the team responds with Joe Flacco on the field and learn something. Because if not, you are going to end up being Josh Rosen. And that's going to be – I think that's going to be an unfortunate thing, like you said, Eric. With a guy that's got those tools, whip for an arm, the opportunity to make any throw that he wants on a field, but to rein that all in. And it goes back to, I think, Ryan, you said this earlier, just how patient can you be with it? And I think that's got to be where Robert Saleh is in this whole situation. Like, you got a team that could get to the playoffs, but I really have got to develop this guy if we want this thing long term. And that really becomes a difficult push-pull for a head coach. Because you guys know the head coach has got 4 or 5 years. And if that, maybe. If they show some promise, it's maybe 4 or 5. But you get to the playoffs, man, that can cement you, especially in New York, as a guy that can stick around for a little bit. But can you get there with the way Zach's playing? But do you want to give up on a guy that you know is number 2 overall pick? It's a dicey situation for the Jets. There's no doubt about it. All right, we get back. We got a little bit more prize picks. More or less for the guys on the other side. But I got to talk to you right now about betonline.net, the number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league that's going on out there. I don't know, did you get in on some of the CFL action? How about Chad Kelly, the backup, getting it done in the CFL? What a late drive for the Argos. Did you get in on that on betonline.net? Well, you should have. And if you love sports podcasts, I know you do because you listen to us, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, boys, the show is brought to you by Prize Picks. We all know that. So it's the last segment dedicated to them. It's more or less, I set the projections. Are you ready? And it's related to the Jets and kind of not sort of. Ryan Tracy, you go first. More or less, 3 quarterbacks drafted in the first round of the 2023 NFL draft, the one upcoming. 3 quarterbacks drafted in the first round, more or less. Now, you can't say right at it. You got to pick it, more or less. And, of course, you don't have any money on it, so you can't really lose either way.
I think there should only be 2. I think there will be 4. So I will take the more because we all know what happens with quarterbacks.
Last year there was only 1. So our infatuation, well, it ended for 1 year at least. Does it come back, Eric Crocker? More or less, 3 quarterbacks in the first round in the 2023 NFL draft.
I think I'm going to go with the lower here. And if they learned anything from last season, it's you don't have to reach for a quarterback. Now, maybe they just view this class as more talented, and a lot of people were down on last year's quarterback class just in general. But I think the fact remains the same, man. Quarterbacks is so hit and miss, and definitely the league has made a huge priority to kind of bump those guys up list. But yeah, if I'm a team, I am only really going after who I think has like just tremendous upside. And who are those guys? Maybe Bryce Young, maybe CJ Stroud. I mean, outside of that, it starts getting real dicey.
All right, we'll see if that infatuation sticks. Lower, more, I like it. Let's go to this next one. Keeping with a pretty simple theme here. Eric Crocker, you talked about which wide receivers were going to go in the first round earlier this month. More or less, three wide receivers drafted in the first round of the 2023 NFL draft. More or less.
I'm going to go more. I think there are guys that, off the top of the head, you can kind of rattle off some names of guys that you think potentially are first-rounders. And, again, I'd say there might be one lock, maybe two. But just because there's a couple guys who I think are guaranteed to go doesn't mean that there aren't four or five other guys that are going to be in the discussion to go in the first round. We've seen an influx of receivers going extremely high pretty much ever since the 2019 draft with – Hollywood Brown and N'Keal Harry, those were the only two guys to go first round. Who went second round? You had DK Metcalf. You had Deebo Samuel. You had A.J. Brown. You had Terry McLaurin going the third round. And I don't think teams want that to happen again where they just miss on guys. So I think first round, getting that fifth-year option on receivers, that's going to be pivotal. So I definitely can see more guys going in the first round.
Right, Tracy, three wide receivers drafted in the first round of 2023, more or less?
I'm going to take the less because I think there's questions about everybody beyond the number one guy. I think there's a pause to, yes, you want to get value in that draft. And yes, it's been a hot run, right? We thought this class was actually going to be further along than it is. I think a couple of guys slip more than rise. So I'm going to go with the under.
I think it's going to be interesting what Kayshawn Booty and JSN are able to do at the end of the year if we see them, what they decide to do. I think that can maybe change the number a little bit. Quinn Johnson, Jordan Addison, feel like those two, and they don't want to lock it just yet, but those feel pretty close to first-rounders. With those other guys, that gets kind of interesting. And then how does the NFL world look at Jalin Hyatt? It's one-year sort of thing. How do they look at him? But I would go more on that one. I just got a feeling that more receivers – teams get that infatuation with the receivers and sexy fast guys, so I think it could happen. All right, Ryan Tracy, sensing the theme here, but the number changes. Running backs in the first round of the 2023 NFL draft, more or less? The number is two.
I'm going to have to take the more. I'm going to think that they might get pushed up. There's some talents here that I think, especially with the success of Walker and Hall this season, where they think, hey, maybe I can get my offense over the hump, even with a quarterback that maybe I don't know if he's a franchise guy. I think they might look more valuable this season. I'll take them more.
I think one of the things that's playing into this, Eric Crocker, is the fact that you're seeing more teams run the football this year. They're seeing that too high, and they're like, man, we're going to just pound the rock here. And maybe they look at the running back having a little bit more value than they have in the past. And to Ryan's point, Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall, Damian Pierce, those guys have all made an impact. None of them are first-rounders, but maybe that's enough to get teams' attention to add a running back. Two running backs in the first round, Eric Crocker, more or less?
Less. At the end of the day, the NFL, they just don't value running backs enough. We definitely have seen the offense go more to running the ball, and guys are getting that usage there, but I don't think it's going to be to the extent of, I don't want to say reaching, but pretty much reaching four running backs in the first round. I just don't see it. Maybe one. You know, you really like Bijan Robinson. Maybe, you know, Gibbs out of Alabama. But for the most part, I don't see the value quite there.
All right. Well, I'm glad we agreed on all of these tonight. That's always making for a great show when we're on opposite sides, which is always very, very fun. We appreciate you for listening and making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Appreciate you guys again for listening. For Ryan, for Eric, I'm John. We'll see you next time right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Let's go!